You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on Cyclesman.com. He's speaking to us from Gulf Shores, Alabama. Welcome back to the show.
And Jim, thanks as always for having me.
Tim, they're expecting an interest rate cut from the Fed. What's the story there?
Well, it's close. It's close. Let me give you some numbers and facts. So we know, and if anybody that's following my letter, my research material, if I've proven one thing, it's that, you know, the employment numbers and all that other stuff is just nonsense. All that matters is the discount rate versus the three-month T-bill, that is. And this rate-cutting cycle that began in 24, when you look at that model, at that differential, this has been, I think it was the fourth longest in history, going back into the 50s. I say in history, going back into the 50s, which includes the rate hiking cycle, the overall uptrend in rates going up into the 80s, and the overall downtrend since then with rates, you know, trending lower with the counter trend, you know, hiking cycles. If you look at that, all that data collectively, this plateau period, I call it, you know, we had the low in rates in 20, 21, and early 22, they hiked, and then they got to the plateau where they stopped hiking. Well, we had the fourth longest, I believe it was the fourth, longest plateau period going back in that, you know, into the 50s, into that data set. And people were squawking about how the Powell should have cut. And when you look at the data realistically, and I'm not defending Powell, I have no dog in the hunt there. I'm just saying that, you know, we saw plateau periods that were actually longer. But what really mattered is that the three-month T-bill and the discount rate, let me say it this way, the discount rate was only marginally above three-month T-bill. The spread was very, very thin. And if you look back at the previous rate-cutting cycles, they would start cutting, you know, in a pre-09 world, the cuts would start when the discount rate or the three-month T-bill, let me say it the other way, when the three-month T-bill would drop somewhere between 1 and 2 points below the discount rate. And as we progressed in time, you know, following the 09 crisis, the next rate-cutting cycle that was in 19 and 20, that spread got much thinner. It tightened. And the cuts then began at under a point, you know, somewhere in the 0.7 and 0.8 range. They'd start to cut. And so every time they'd cut and then the T-bill dropped back into that range, they'd cut again, is what I'm saying. Well, with this cycle, you know, everybody was saying he was late in cutting, but in reality, that he wasn't when you look at the model. You know, it was, like I said, it seemed like he was late because it was the fourth longest plateau period. But then the first rate cut came, actually, it was the most aggressive in history. And what I mean by that is that the spread, and I'm saying this from fuzzy memory, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, that the first cut back in September of 24, it came with the spread at, I think it was 0.52 or 0.53 on the T-bill, you know, or differential between the two. And so that's the tightest margin, looking back in that 70-year period, for any rate-cutting cycle to kick off. It was the tightest cut in history. And then the next one was at around in high 40s, at like 0.47, just under 50. And then we went into this, you know, after every rate-cutting cycle begins, there's a pause period. We've talked about this in a couple of interviews. There's this pause period, this long pause period. It always happens. It's just, you know, the way it is. And we, you know, that period, that was one of the longest pause periods also in history. And I forget the number. I looked at it, but it's not fresh on my mind. But that was an extended pause period. It lasted better part of a year. And then they began cutting again. But when you look at that, during that pause period, we were in a range, to give perspective, we were in the range, that spread differential was in the range of like somewhere around point, well, it hovered back and forth between 0.10 and 0.3. And there was an interview that I referenced a couple of times that we've done. I said, somebody write it down. I said, they're not going to resume cutting until we're back in that 0.5 range. And lo and behold, they began cutting this last, or the two cuts ago, we were just shy of the 0.5 range. We were at like 0.48 or 0.47 or something like that. And boom, they cut. And that was the cut back in September, coming out of that pause period. This last cut was a little bit tighter. It was at like 0.44. So now, as we sit today, looking at this, we're at 0.3. So we hadn't quite moved back up into that high, mid to high 0.4 to 0.5 range. So based on looking at the, based on where we are right now as of this interview and based on where we were during that pause period at that same 0.3 range, they should not cut. But, you know, the Fed meeting is a week away. Rates could slip, the three-month T-bill could slip a little bit lower and get us in that 0.4 range, and then I would expect that they probably would go ahead and cut. So it depends kind of on what this three-month T-bill does. The other thing is what I think this is proving. Here's my whole point in walking through all that mundane stuff, is that this has been the most aggressive rate-cutting cycle in going back into the 1950s. And I think the reason for that is that it's reflective of the deflationary setup that we face, the dangers that we face. In spite of the fact that the market is virtually still at new highs, that deflationary setup is still taking form. And I think that this aggressive, these aggressive cuts that we've been seeing is signaling that risk. So I don't know at this point. Like I said, as of right now, I would say no. But, you know, rates slip into, I'm going to repeat myself, into that, you know, 0.4 range, and I think they'll probably cut. Now, should they cut with let me add this, should they cut with rates in the range they are now, that would be super aggressive. That would be the most aggressive cut in history. Going back, like I said, when I say in history, going back into the 50s. So what would that be signaling? You know, that's not signaling that everything is okay. And that's the point.
Exactly. I was just going to ask, what does it mean for the, as they say, boots on the ground for this rate cut to happen when you say statistically and realistically and from past policy practices, this would be unprecedented?
Right. Well, this whole rate cutting cycle, that's what I'm saying. You're 100% right. And that's what I'm saying. It would be even, this whole rate cutting cycle is unprecedented, but it would be unprecedented even against this standard if they were to cut with the spread where it is right now. And so what I'm saying is this entire rate cutting cycle is sending a message that people aren't hearing. I mean, if things are so great, why are they doing that? Why are they cutting? And so, and what I'm trying to say is this deflationary setup that I've been talking about that falls on deaf ears because nobody can see it, understand it. They're not reading in the data and looking at what I'm putting out in the research letters. They don't get it. But that's what I'm talking about. There is something brewing here. And yes, I know it's held on and on and on and on and on because they're masters at keeping this thing going, but it's still developing. It's still developing, and I think it's getting closer to some sort of a climax, obviously, every day that goes by. So anyway, yeah, there's a message being sent here by these rate cuts. And like I said, where they cut with the spread between the three-month T-bill and this next cut is going to also be a message.
Well, market historian Bob Hoy says all these people are cheering rate cuts. Oh, this means money will be cheaper. But he said, now this is because he's a market historian. He said anytime they start cutting rates, and then he starts citing precedents from the 1700s, the 1800s, the early 1900s. He said every time interest rates start coming down like this, it means you're about to go into a recession. Is that what it's telling us?
Yes, that's what I've been screaming. I'm on the same page with him. If you look back, everybody thinks the Fed, listen, it's I don't know how to say this and put it in words. It's like an illusion. I mean, people will believe anything you tell them. You tell them and they just buy it. But when you look at the data, it's like, okay, I mean, people say, oh, the Fed's cutting, they're going to save the market, they're going to save the market, they're going to save the market. Okay, well, let's just go back in the last 25 years of history. We had the dot-com bubble top in 2000. The Fed started cutting. Did they save the market? Guess where they stopped cutting? At the bottom. They didn't save a damn thing. Let's go to 2007. The market peaked, and they had already started cutting. They'd already made a cut or two, I think two cuts, as we moved into that October. Yeah, two cuts as we moved into that October of 07 high. They saw it coming. The model signaled and forced a cut ahead of that market top. Now, every one of these are a little different. You know, if they cut before or after the top, when does it start? Then the cut started right before the top, and they'd made two cuts. Did they save it? Did they prevent the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression? No. You want to know where they stopped cutting? At the bottom. Let's go to 2020. The first cut occurred, I believe it was, looking at this, it was August. It looks like it was in August. It could have been late July, August of 19. Market peaked in was it February of 2020. And they had already made several cuts. Did it stop the decline in 2020? Nope. This time is a little bit different. They started to cut here before the top. And, you know, this is kind of like 07. Now, 07, the top was closer to the initiation of the cut. But the cuts are telling us that something's not right. And going back to something else we talked about, the downturn in 2000, that was a downturn out of this long-term, the fifth long-term economic cycle that we've gone through numerous times and talked about. The top in 07, that was the first attempted downturn out of this sixth long-term economic cycle. The downturn in 2020 was the second attempted downturn out of this long-term economic cycle. And now this is going to be the third attempted downturn. That's what we're setting up for out of this long-term economic cycle. And you know, I'm speculating here a little bit, but given everybody can look at this, or they should be able to, and see that it's the fabricated, fueled bubble that it is, and knowing that from my eyes, seeing that we're setting up for a turn, it's fairly easy to speculate that the risk here, at least, is that this is the unwinding of the bubble. We've been watching this, but it's being saved and saved and saved and saved with monetary policy. And now we're getting to the point where we're moving back into the rate cutting cycle, and it's going to be very difficult to save it because we know what these downturns in rates mean, along with some other things that I'm watching. So anyway, yeah, it's as we sit here at new highs and it's Christmas and everybody feels great, these rate cuts are significant.
With the rate cuts, seemed to me, I remember the old Ed Sullivan show, and they'd have somebody with a stick and they'd balance more and more plates on it. But you reach a limit where you just can't put any more on and everything comes tumbling down. Is that what the stock market is right now?
Of course. That's what it's been. Listen, that's what it's been. This plate act has been going on for 25 years. That's a good analogy, because let's go back. Let's digress, because there may be some other listeners. Let's talk about this again. Going back to looking at these long-term economic cycles, the first economic cycle was early 1800s, and that was with the founding of the country, basically, and the settling of the West and land speculation and on and on and on and on and on. So there, it had a sound economic underpinning. The second cycle, kind of more the same. That one was with the railroad bubble, more settling of land, farming was a big part of that. But there was a sound economic underpinning. I mean, they had a bubble, the railroad bubble. Everybody, any market historian should know about that. And then the third cycle, that one peaked with the, you know, it was born with the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, we have automobiles and we're building roads and the assembly line. And, you know, so that was a sound economic underpinning, right? And then the next cycle, it came out of World War II, in the post-World War II economic boom. Everybody knows about that. That was a sound economic expansion. And then we roll over, we had the 74 bear market, and then the next cycle began. And it slowly kind of took hold and then really started, you know, taking hold in the early 80s out of the 82 low. And then that fueled us up into the dot-com era with the advent of cellular, internet, and the technology boom. Boom. Then we get the dot-com top, the 2000 top. Down we come. That was the last long-term economic cycle. The entire market, the entire gig was basically up then. When you look at some of this stuff under the hood, you look at job participation rate, you look at M2 data, you look at the expansion of debt, you look at a number of things. It was basically up then. And now, looking at this cycle since 02, what's it been based on? Is there a... And AI, I'm not buying the AI bullshit. I'm not buying it at all. They're trying to make... AI is not the technology boom of the late 80s, 90s, and early 2000s with the dot-com era. Doesn't hold a light to it. I'll argue that point with anybody. It's not an industrial revolution like in the 20s, the teens and 20s. It's not a post-World War economic boom. It's bullshit. And the compared to those. And this entire cycle, current economic cycle coming out of 02, the reality is it's been fabricated on monetary policy. It's been fueled, if you will, on monetary policy. What's the Fed doing? Operation Twist, QE, the expansion of debt with COVID. It's all been based on manipulation. It's no sound underlying economic expansion whatsoever. This economy is running on fumes when you look under the hood. And this stuff about AI and how great the economy is, that's propaganda. Wanting you to believe that everything is good. It's not. And these charts are telling us that. And so that's what I'm following in the letter, in the research letter for subscribers, is where are we in this setup, and when does the how are the, you know, as we check the boxes, you know, how's this thing setting up? Where are we in that process? And so, anyway, that's the big picture, and that's what we face. That's the risk we face, and nobody sees it because it's taken too long to for the setup to occur. Everybody knows, you know, buy the dip, and they're going to save it again, and the Fed's got her back, and all that, and they don't understand what we're dealing with. It's ultimately when it bites. It's I don't know how to describe it, a financial nuclear bomb. How about that?
Oh, wow.
But in the meantime, you know, like I said, they've been able to save it. Like I said, coming out of the 09 low and then coming out of the 2020 low. And so, but now we face something bigger than that. You're right.
We'll have more with Tim Cycles Van Wood right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Tim Cycles Van Wood. Tim, are there any safe havens if we're going to have a massive crash?
Well, I will argue, I turn to history, Jim. I mean, I think that's the best guide in knowing history. And when you look back at all these other bubbles that we're talking about of this degree, these long-term economic cycles, that's a better way of saying it, because there's never been a bubble like this in history. I will argue, dwarfs the South Sea and every other, you know, known bubble to man, you know, in any financial history. I don't think there's anything to compare to it. But when you look back at history, at these downturns, these long-term economic cycles, everything goes. And the contrary to popular belief, the safe haven has been always cash. You're being on the sidelines, somebody having preserving the capital, preserving the capital. And if you look back even at 07 and 08, 09, you know, housing was, it went, there's, everything is going to feel, the pressures of this downturn. I think, interest rates are going to continue to trend lower. I've done some studies on that in the last letter. Solid research. It's just math when you can extract the cycles and look at the, look at it statistically of what's going to happen. So I think interest rates going down. So that means bonds will be going up, at least on the short end. The long end, little iffy on the long end. They may not, there may be something else going on there, but the shorter end absolutely, is going up. So T-bills, you know, there's a, you know, like I said, the trend there is up. Gold, the same thing. I understand everybody's got gold fever, and look, this has been one heck of a run. I've cautioned that this is a move with that setup, and I've never once said that, you know, we've had the top. In fact, I said there was a 9-year cycle low back in 2022, and we've been advancing out of that low ever since. But we are now in a place where we're testing that high, where something can come together. And again, that's something I'm following in the letters. So once it all sets up together, I think, or once this setup with the sixth economic cycle or the downturn out of this current cycle happens, I think everything's going to set up pretty much together. Now, my expectation is, to be clear, for the gold bugs, I don't think gold's going to get hit like equities, but I do think it's going to come under pressure. And I'm following that. I have some models and some mathematical, I don't know how to say it, just mathematical models and statistics on that that I can show. I'm showing this in the letters of why and how I think this setup is going to happen.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Tim Cyclesman Wood, editor of Cycles News and Views on cyclesman.com. If you have any questions for Tim or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.